Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say and Mel Garcia.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mel Garcia, and just capped off a big Super Bowl weekend. And congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. And here we are. And let's get ready to talk about what is really expensive these days. The Super Bowl ads, $7 million for a 30-second spot, and $16 billion were bet on the Super Bowl.
Whoa.
Unbelievable. So which one of these was your favorite? Do you like a few of them, or some
I liked
of them?
I love the Will Smith one. I love the Steve Martin one. But I think the Rock, You're Not a Rock Star one was one of my favorites.
Well,
I'm a Kiss fan, too, though. So, you know.
No, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it. You know,
yeah.
I was surprised to see a lot of my, you know, more favorite people.
You've tore up in a hotel with Billy Idol before, haven't you?
No, I did not tear up a hotel room.
That's what I could have sworn I heard that somewhere.
I may have tagged him out at second base or something when we opened a Little League at Sunrise in Woodland Hills years ago.
Yeah, that's code for I tagged out one time when I was with him. I got it. Yeah.
But it was a tremendous experience, and I had to question the song that he sang. It was White Wedding.
Yeah, at a kid's bar mitzvah.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Little League opening, and White Wedding pops out. You know, it's like, oh my God.
Singing Alice Cooper singing Dead Babies at a christening. So, not good. Not right.
But I enjoyed seeing Bryan Cranston and the.
That was cool. That was very cool, too.
The Breaking Bad Boys doing a commercial for, you know, that cheese pop or whatever. I can't even remember. But it was a lot of fun. I always enjoy those things. It seems to be that people never walk away from their televisions once
they're running. It's like they're yelling. It's commercial time. They're not yelling. You know, it's coming. You know, we're getting the ball. You know, but yeah, you know, it was amazing. But you talk about $7 million for the spot. That's not including the production, which is probably another million at least for some of these things because of the talent they corralled at least. We're talking about $8.5 million to $9 million for a 60-second commercial.
I hope they get their money's worth out of that. I swear to God.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of money to pay.
The terrible part is we're calling them like the Steve Martin commercial. I have no idea what the heck he was selling. I know Steve Martin was there.
Right. They're not related necessarily. It's just kind of a form of entertainment. And we're representing this product.
Well, they got such a great budget for those things for 30 seconds of entertainment.
Okay. We are going to be right back with our special guest, Shep Gordon, right after this message. Thanks for joining us. Hi, this is Dodger legend Ron Say. If you're a business owner, would you like to save 20 to 30% on your monthly health insurance premium while improving your benefits? Then give BFF Financial a call. If you have more than 10 employees and you're interested in building a tax-free retirement income that can be funded with tax-deductible dollars, then give BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Those are just two of the things that my friends at BFF Financial can help you with. They make some of the most important financial decisions that a business owner must make. Easy to understand. Many of my friends who are business owners always talk about how much they are looking to stretch their budgets and do more for their employees, their family, and themselves. If you are in the same situation, give my friends at BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Call the team at BFF Financial at 888-908-4BFF to get a free consultation. Tell them Ron sent you. BFF Financial, simplifying the complex. 888-908-4BFF or visit us at BFFFinancial.com. Balance7.com.
Hello, everyone. Fred Dreyer here for Balance7.com. Do you suffer from low energy, acid reflux, heartburn, joint discomfort, or a weak immune system? Well, Balance 7 is your answer. Balance 7 dilutes the acid in your body and kickstarts your immune system. That's right. 3 sips a day is all you need. In 3 days, you will feel the difference. Balance 7 is my go-to drink to energize me every day. Stop taking those caffeinated, sugar-filled energy drinks. Balance 7 works. Remember, a sick body is an acid body. So, cut the acid in your body with Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. Use the code word FRED to get $15 off your order and free shipping, plus a money-back guarantee. Man, you can't beat this. Call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Or go to Balance7.com. And don't forget the code word FRED.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed. It's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2 years old. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbvie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
They still call me the Penguin. Welcome back, everyone, to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with my co-partner, Mel Garcia. And we have a very special guest joining us today, talent manager, Hollywood film agent, and producer, Shep Gordon. Shep,
hey,
welcome
buddy.
To the show.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Nice to be here.
And Mel wanted to jump right into your take on the Super Bowl ads that took place, at costing $7 million for 30-second spot.
I mean, for me, it was a real easy choice of which one I liked the most. Workday.
Yeah, the rock star one.
He gave money to rock and rollers.
The one with Paul Stanley and Ozzy Osbourne and
Billy Idol. I would have liked Alice in there.
That's exactly what I was thinking as soon as I called the commercial.
You know, when I saw Billy Idol, it reminded me of an event, if you want to call it an event. We opened a Little League at Surprise. It's out here in Woodland Hills. And we did this years ago, and of course he performed White Wedding at this, which I thought was a little bit out of place for the kids, but great performer. Good to see him there.
Joan Jett, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Great. He's a great artist, but it was really great to see them all recognized, and hopefully that'll open up a lot more doors for everybody.
Yeah, I enjoyed the Will Ferrell one, too. I thought Will seems to be I remember spring training here years ago when he went to all the ballparks, I think, in one day in a helicopter and played in all these other exhibition games. So he's been an incredible performer. And then Bryan Cranston. I saw Bryan Cranston, who's another Dodger fan, in those. So it was fun.
Steve Martin was a really good one.
Yes. Yeah, sure was.
Yeah. Listen, you know, I think there's always been a big cohesion between athletes and entertainers. It's just you both go, you know, you live almost the same lives. You wake up in the morning in regular clothes. You put on your stage clothes. You put on your baseball uniform.
Yeah. It's
no matter
true.
How you feel, you go out and do your job, hopefully.
A little bit of makeup under the eyes.
A little bit of makeup under the eyes. When it's over, you know that the band will talk about how someone screwed up and missed a note, and you go, I'm sure you had the same thing if someone gets an error.
Yeah.
Well, our performances are live, unrehearsed, and I think the entertainment side of it was something that we recognized early. You know, we weren't just professional athletes out there playing a game, performing. We were a form of entertainment to a lot of people, and you know how the sports world works in this country. I mean, everybody has a favorite team or a favorite player, and gives you an opportunity to escape and root for your team, get something to get excited about at the end of the day, and it's provided a lot of entertainment for a lot of people, so I was happy to be able to do that as well.
Yeah, no, it's basically the same kind of life, just a little bit different skills.
Sure. Yeah,
but definitely the same kind of life. I spent a lot of time working in the culinary world with chefs, and their lives are exactly like musicians. I mean, it's basically the same thing. They have to create new recipes. Artists have to create new songs.
Yeah.
You guys have to learn how to hit new pitchers.
That was always difficult. We always seem to fail about 70% of the time.
So do we.
And it's all on camera. That's the terrible part.
Yeah. So I want to get a little bit into, you know, your childhood. Where you grew up in just outside of Shea Stadium in Jackson Heights. And
I was born in Jackson Heights. I actually got raised in Long Island, South Shore, Oceanside. Used to have a newspaper route that if you sold enough subscriptions, you got tickets. I got tickets to the first Met game.
Oh, cool. Wow.
I remember seeing Casey Stengel, like, blew me away. Roger Maris, I think, was on the team then. He maybe made an error, did something, but it was not Maris, it was somebody, but so baseball for me was important from early on because it meant I could get away from home. I could get my two tickets and go somewhere. I loved growing up there. And then I went to school in Buffalo. After Buffalo, went back to New York for the new school for social research.
So what were you studying at Buffalo? What guided you to this profession that you got into?
Yeah, nothing really. You know, I completely tripped into it.
I
knew what I wanted to be. Ended up, in the words of Anthony Bourdain, becoming a pharmaceutical salesman. And ended up going out to LA actually as a probation officer.
What a torn life.
Yeah, no, it was really weird. I remember the first thing, I went to Los Padrinos Juvenile Hall in California. That was where I was got a job as a probation officer. And I remember getting out of the car and realizing that I had some psychedelics in my pocket. And I bet I'd walk into the jail with it.
I'm going to have to search myself.
Yeah. But it didn't last long. I ended up in a hotel, the Hollywood Landmark in L.A., not knowing what I was going to do with my life. I heard a girl down at the pool. It was one of those, like, Hotel California places. A pool with an L, a two-story motel surrounding the pool. So I was out on a balcony overlooking the pool, heard a girl screaming, had just come from a jail, thought that she was being raped or something, and went down and separated these two people. And the girl, they were making love. The girl hit me, cut my lip a little bit. And the morning I went down to the pool and the girl called me over with Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
And she was sitting with Jimi Hendrix, who was not her lover that night, I don't believe, but that's who she was sitting with.
That's a Welcome to Los Angeles by Janis Joplin.
Yeah, in L.A., right next to the Magic Castle, between Highland and La Brea on Franklin. The hotel's still there.
I know it.
But it changed its name. Yeah.
I know.
Jimi Hendrix said to me, after a couple of maybe 2 months of pharmaceutical sales to him, said, "Are you Jewish?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "You should be a manager." And he introduced me to Alice. And Alice tells the story of Jimmy coming in, saying he found the Jew that'll manage him. and you have to have a Jewish manager. And that Alice says we met on a lie. Alice said he was a singer. I told him I was a manager. And off we went. And it's 55 years later.
Wow.
And you operate under no contract as well, right?
Yeah, contracts are for lawsuits.
Yeah.
We don't really want a lawsuit, so.
You guys are more a family.
You know, it's sort of like flypaper now, you know. We can't get rid of each other. We've been around so long. He was just 75 Saturday night.
His birthday, yeah.
Yes.
His stamina is unbelievable when you see him in concert. I get tired before he does, and I'm just watching.
Yeah, he has a great time. He lives a very pure life. He doesn't have a phone. He doesn't have a computer. He plays golf every day.
Wow.
If he doesn't do a show, he sees a movie. And his joy in life is doing the shows. You know, I don't tell the promoters, but he probably paid to do the shows.
Yeah. He sounds like Groucho Marx.
They always got along really well.
Yeah.
You know, managed a great number of stars in your past. Anne Murray, Blondie, Teddy Pendergrass, Luther Vandross, Ben Vereen, Frankie Valli, Kenny Loggins, Pink Floyd,
Groucho Marx,
Raquel Welch, Groucho Marx, the Printer Pointer Sisters, Sammy Hagar, Willie Nelson. That's a mouthful. When we come back, I'd like to have you tell a story about maybe one of your more favorite times managing these guys. I'm sure you have plenty of stories, but that's an incredible list. Plus, you know, you had a culinary career, too. And there's a lot of names in there we want to discuss. But we need to take a break here. We're going to be back very shortly with our guest, Chef Gordon.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
Come on. You watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you. With the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Oh, good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-732-9635, 800-732-9635, 800-732-9635. That's 800-732-9635.
Hello, Ron Say. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. We'll see about that with our special guest, Shep Gordon. And Shep, Mel tells me that you have probably more stories about Alice Cooper that come to mind than the rest of them. So you want to start with maybe one of those?
Actually, the whole campaign about how you treated the parents, you have to share that with Ron.
I think when I started with Alice, I wasn't a manager. So I didn't know any of the rules. The rules in those days were, you go into the studio, you make a record, you pay, you try and figure out how you can get enough money to pay someone to get it on the radio. And that was pretty much what you did. I didn't know anything, so I didn't know that. So what we tried to figure out is, how do we get people to actually come see Alice Cooper. And what we realized really early on through a combination of living on the planet, some of my work in sociology, some of Alice's experiences with his audience, was that we were dealing with a rebellious group of people who, not unlike Elvis Presley or Frank Sinatra, were forbidden fruit. If you remember Elvis Presley, they wouldn't show his hips on the Ed Sullivan Show. I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember that.
Oh, I am.
But that's really what broke Elvis Presley. Every family got around the TV. Every parent said, "That is disgusting. You see, they won't even show his hips." And every kid went out and bought the record, because every kid, what I had learned in sociology is that there's very few things that have wide appeal. And one of them is rebellion against your parents. Every kid goes through a period of rebelling against the parent, wanting to walk around on the other side of the street. Whatever was good for if the parent hates something, they love it. So we realized that was maybe for us a faster path to what we were looking for, which was the ability to buy lunch because we had no money. And by getting people to come see you, you could make money. So we really focused on what would make a parent tell their kids, "You'll be grounded if you go see Alice Cooper." And part of it was a man with a girl's name. Part of it was wearing dresses. Part of it was doing despicable things like chopping up baby dolls and chickens, and doing all that kind of stuff. Okay. Things that we could get a parent to react and get their kids to come see us. To give an example, a manifestation of that. When we were going to England for the first time, we had already broken in America. And I assumed, again, I wasn't a manager. I didn't really know a lot. So I just assumed if we were big in America, we were big everywhere. And the agent was over aggressive. I didn't know enough to say no. And we ended up booking a hall in London for our first appearance at Wembley Arena, which was, I believe, 10,000 seats in those days. And I got there about a week before the show, and we had sold literally no tickets, maybe 150 tickets.
Wow.
So radio, there was nothing that was going to help us except if I could somehow piss off every parent in England really fast and hope the theory worked. So I went to the record company. They put me with this brilliant guy, Derek Taylor, who was known as the Sixth Beatle. He was a publicist. And he had never heard of Alice. And he asked me about Alice. And I told him that that our real appeal was parents hated him. And that if we could figure out a way to get parents to hate him really fast, that was what I needed. So we talked, I told him about the Elvis show. We talked about in England, is there a TV show like it, the Ed Sullivan show, that families gather around? And he said it was BBC Morning News, that the families would usually gather at the breakfast table, that the father would watch traffic reports for where he had to go to work. The mom and would watch weather reports for school. There'd be, you know, stupid little things on, but it was really geared towards family watching. And that was the biggest ratings in England at the time, was BBC Morning Show. When he said traffic report, I said, we had just done a photograph with a very famous photographer, Richard Avedon. There was Alice naked, lying down with a snake wrapped around his genitals. And I said, you know, I have this shot that'll probably disgust every parent in England if we can get him to see it. And we ended up getting a long billboard truck. We blew it up 40 feet long, the picture. And we broke the truck down at rush hour in the morning at Piccadilly Circus, which is the heaviest. It's a Times Square or Hollywood and Vine of England.
It broke down? Are you act? Yeah.
We broke it down three times. They took the truck driver to jail. But on the morning news, they had helicopters showing traffic had backed up 40 miles.
Oh, wow.
So it was helicopter. And what really made it work for us is we woke up the next day and Parliament introduced a bill to ban Alice Cooper from ever coming into England. And it made front page of the British papers that they were putting that one of the guys had done a press conference that afternoon. And we sold out in 24 hours.
Brilliant.
Mission accomplished. Yeah.
You know, and Alice gets blamed for that chicken, but who really threw that chicken on stage?
I threw the chicken on stage and the audience killed the chicken. Alice actually didn't kill it. But a funny story, but Frank Zappa, who read the story, said to Alice, you didn't kill the chicken? Don't tell anybody that. That's going to make your career killing the chicken.
Your parents loved that story. You would just decided to throw a chicken on stage? What motivated you?
Well, it was a bigger story. I mean, it was part of a bigger story. What we did anything we could do for standing ovation. So one of the things at the end of the show was we wanted to do pyro, but we couldn't afford pyro. But something at the end of the show to excite people, to get them to stand up, to
a finale.
You know, you want an ending. We used to stay in motels, and a lot of the motels had feather pillows. So one night we said, let's take some feather pillows, a CO2 tank from the hotel because it was a fire extinguisher. And at the end of the show, let's rip open the feathers, get them all over the stage, and have the lights jumping. So if you can imagine feathers, light, it's exciting. You know, the music's going. And,
right, right.
And it worked.
Pre-confetti days.
So it became part of the show every night. We did that for probably a year, year and a half. So when we were driving up to Varsity Stadium, there was some feral chickens. I remember the day really well because we actually had to get out of the car and walk to the stadium. There was so much traffic. But on that walk, there were these feral chickens. So I got the guys to the hall, and I went back, and I picked up one of the chickens, put it in a bag with one of the security guys, and said, we do the chickens anyway. We have the chicken feathers for the whole thing. This would be really funny to put a live one in there. So I never said anything to anyone. And when the feathers went off, I threw it in the mix. And Alice saw it, picked it up. He thought a chicken could fly. We don't know about chickens.
In his defense, he is from Detroit.
Yeah, he threw it out to the audience, and the audience sort of ripped it apart.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't friendly.
Oh, Jesus.
And so the folklore continues.
Yeah, so the folklore continues. But then Ozzy said he did it. I don't know if Ozzy ever did it, but supposedly he ripped He sucked the head off something.
A dove or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Just wannabe.
Whose idea was it to bring the guillotine on stage?
The guillotine was actually Amazing Randy, I think, is the one who we wrote the show, although the audience wasn't particularly in on the joke all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Our shows took a very I would help Alice write the shows. And the shows had a theme, so we knew what to write to. And the theme was this absolutely despicable character named Alice Cooper would do these horrendous deeds to society, like horrific. You know, he'd chop up baby dolls. He'd, you know, destroy chickens. He'd spit on the stage on people.
A netrophiliac.
Yeah, he did everything really disgusting to society. He dressed disgusting. He looked, and at the end, the townspeople would rise up, kill him for his deeds, and then he would return in white, redeemed. So right. If you think to all of Alice's shows, there's always an execution, and then he always comes back in white. He plays in black for most of the show. Comes out with a top hat and tails and bubbles and school's out and life is beautiful.
I was a childhood when I saw the Welcome to My Nightmare tour when he was jumping off and on the screen. I was mesmerized. That was one of the best shows ever in my life.
Well, it's an amazing concept of how all of this happened, but it seems like after a while it was pretty well planned out. And it worked out really well for you, didn't it?
It did. So that was a long way to say how we got to the guillotine. We hired a magician, and guillotine, yeah. And he said, there's this old Harry Houdini trick. Maybe you want to kill him that way.
Very cool.
We're going to have to chop off here for a second. We've got a commercial coming up, but we'll be right back after this.
Searching for fun ways to spend your tax return? Boats for cats. Oh, flotation devices for cats. Don't waste it all on something silly. Spend smarter with Straight Talk. Get our Silver Unlimited plan for $45 a month with unlimited high-speed data and with nationwide 5G. Plus, get a Samsung A13 5G for only $99.99, down from $149. If you're looking to get the most out of your refund, your search ends here. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. 5G-capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. See latest terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Every piece of land has a story. Some right there is behind the wheel of a John Deere 1 Series tractor, like the Upshaws.
This is my tractor, Penny. It's all about attention to detail.
But the Nelsons love cruising around their expansive Montana ranch in their John Deere Gator UV.
We've been here since 1868.
While the Caggianos drive a John Deere zero-turn mower to keep their Long Island brewery looking sharp.
Don't call me, don't bother me. I'm going out to mow for a couple hours.
Run with us and start telling your story. Learn more at johndeere.com/radio.
Guys, are you getting up multiple times a night to use the bathroom? As we get older, so do our prostates, and that can mean urinary problems that affect our sleep and quality of life. Life is better outside the bathroom. Real Health's Prostate Complete can help you relieve those annoying and painful prostate symptoms. Available at Walmart or visit realhealth.com for more information and to order yours today. Try it risk-free with our 120-day money-back guarantee. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease.
Hi, I'm John Smoltz, former Major League Baseball pitcher and current Hall of Famer. I've had the pleasure of seeing so many great products come and go, but the rope is the best I've ever seen. I promise you it's going to help the little leaguer, it's really going to help the big leaguer, and it's going to save those young arms from a lot of injuries.
The rope trainer allows a player to grip an actual baseball or softball while warming up. So check out theropetrainer.com and see why Hall of Famer John Smoltz swears by it. That's theropetrainer.com.
Wendy's 2 for $6 lets you mix and match some of our best items, like Dave's single with a 10-piece crispy nugs, medium strawberry lemonade with a spicy chicken sandwich, spicy chicken with a Dave's single, Dave's single with a strawberry lemonade, strawberry lemonade, strawberry lemonade, if you're into that. Chicken Sam, crispy nugs, strawberry lemonade, Dave's, nugs, Sam. Whew. Pick what you want at a price you want. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's 2 for $6.
For a limited time, price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's. On the card only. Single item at regular price.
If you own a business with employees and have not received your COVID ERTC payroll refund of up to $26,000 per employee, you need to act fast as time is running out. ERTCfiling.com has helped thousands of businesses across the country receive over $500 million in government funds. This is not a loan, and you do not have to pay it back. ERTCfiling.com consultants will make the process fast and easy and at a fee of less than 2%. Let ERTCfiling.com show you the money. Go to ERTCfiling.com to see how you qualify.
Fees are at fixed rates per quarter qualified, 2% based on total average rates.
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours, the decisions are yours.
The fans are rooting for the Dodgers.
And this day in Dodger history was the anniversary of the O'Malley's buying Chavez Ravine and later developing that into what we all know as Dodger Stadium, one of the most beautiful icons in Los Angeles.
It certainly is, and it was my favorite stadium, obviously.
The house that Ron built?
Well, we built. Let's put it that way. Yeah, I like it when we say we built.
Yeah, I can't say we. I was never on the team.
And we were the first team in Major League history to draw 3 million people in the house that we built, and that 3 million attendance still exists today. So congratulations for those who've carried on the history and tradition. And we're now back with Shep Gordon. Shep, you know, you've done
Superman.
So many things. Michael Myers did a documentary on your Supermensch. Tell us a little bit about that.
Mike and I had been friends for quite a while. We met on Wayne's World in an unusual way, but we became friends in spite of it. And he would stay at my house a lot in Hawaii. And he loved hearing stories, and I loved telling stories. So he got to the point he would show up at my house, and he'd have on his hand like 3 or 4 names, and he'd go, "Okay, Albert Finney." I tell him an Albert Finney story. And Helen Hunt. I give him a Helen Hunt story. I didn't tell him until after he finished the movie that sometimes I made up the stories. But for maybe 8 or 9 years, he said, "You got to document this." And I really didn't want to. I didn't really have a reason to do it. And I've been always pretty skeptical about what happens with fame, what the side consequences are of fame. So I chose not to. And then I ended up in the hospital I had flatlined, but I was obviously I came through it. And he was my first phone call, and he said, "Now you want to do the documentary?" And I was really feeling sorry for myself and said yes. But I'm very, really happy I did it. It was a great journey for me. It really helped me answer questions about my life that I never even thought about asking. And I think it was a really nice piece for other people out there who want to take a leap of faith and maybe are a little bit scared to. So I'm very happy I did it.
Tell us where your culinary arts project came about. You opened the door for a lot of chefs by representing him too as well.
Yeah, back in 1977, I did my first movie and I won the Cannes Film Festival. And I was a lucky guy. I was
The Duelist, right?
The Duelist, yeah. Ridley cool. Scott's first movie.
Very, very cool.
With Albert Finney and Harvey Keitel, coincidentally, which is one of the names on Mike's hand.
And you still made up the story.
Yeah. No, that story I didn't have to make up. That was a great story. That's a whole other story. But he was a pretty remarkable guy, Albert. I was at a point in my life where I was enjoying every moment of my life. But I knew that I was headed for a crash. You know, I was driving a white Bentley, putting cocaine up my nose, married to a playmate. In my circle, people were dying. Mm. Janis had died. Jimmy had died. Jim Morrison had died. So although I had a private nightclub, Carlos and Charlie's on Sunset Strip, which was like the hot nightclub.
Right.
You own
that?
Yeah, that was mine. So I knew that I was in trouble, but I didn't know, A, I was having too much fun, and B, I didn't know how to get out. I didn't know where the escape door was, even when I would look for it. And I got taken to a restaurant after I won the festival in Cannes, and a fellow walked in the room. And he had all the qualities that I always dreamed I had. He was happy. He was relaxed. He was the power figure. Anthony Quinn jumped up to hug him. James Coburn, Barbra Streisand. You could see he was the power figure. And he seemed happy. Everybody else was smoking cigarettes and their knees were jumping and sweating. And when he walked in the room, it just, everything changed. So I decided this guy was going to, I was going to see what his key to life was. And I stayed after the restaurant ended and he was at the bar and I went over and I asked him if I could be his grasshopper from Kung Fu. I don't know if any of you remember Kung Fu, but they had a master and a grasshopper who sat at the feet of the master and learned. And he didn't speak English well, so he really didn't even know what I was saying. But I said, you know, he said, what is this grasshopper? And I said, well, I just like to be around you. And he said, if I knew how to cook, he would let me work in the kitchen for a day. And I said, I don't know how to cook. And how do I learn to cook? And he gave me the names of some cooking schools. So I went and I came back the next year. I went to both cooking schools. Came back the next year. I had a film in the festival. And I said, I'm here. And he had no idea who I was. I was like one of, you know, thousands of people that I'm sure ask him questions. But he was very gracious. And he was going to Bangkok after the film festival. And I asked him if I could go with him. I think he may have thought I was a pervert, but he said yes. And that started my journey. And over the next 20 years of close friendship and traveling, I got to meet the culinary community because wherever he went, he turned out that he's Roger Berger. He was the inventor of Nouveau Cuisine. On his lapel, he had a little red stripe, which I later found out was a Legion of Honor for cooking, and a national hero in France, and really the father of modern cuisine. So wherever we went, the chefs would show up. Like if we go to L.A., Wolfgang would show up to be at his feet, and you know, and Michelle Richard would show up. They'd all. So I got to know all the chefs, pretty much around the world, as Mr. Verger's gopher. You know, I'd open, pull the chair back for him, put his jacket on, open the napkin, because that's what I enjoyed doing. And at one point, I realized that none of these guys were earning a living. Wolfgang was making, you know, $100,000 a year. He had just opened Spago. None of them had two restaurants. None of them got any respect. They were cooks. They weren't artists. And I sort of knew I had the skills to change that. They all trusted me. And we did it. And they're superstars now, which is really gratifying.
And you started out with Emerald?
I had the way it manifested itself was I told Mr. Verger I would represent him. Wolfgang heard about it. He asked me to come to Spago. I went to Spago for lunch, which wasn't open for lunch, and he had like about 100 of the world's great chefs there, Nobu, Paul Prudhomme, Charlie Trotter, Alice Waters, you know, just about every person you've ever heard of from that era. And they had a big sign in the back of the hall that said, help. And we talked about starting an agency to represent the chefs. And I said, my couple of my rules were, one, I didn't want to ever sign anyone else. Like, I'll take all you guys in the room, because I did it pro bono because they didn't make anything. So I said, but the only guy, there's a guy in New Orleans who really took care of me, who works at Commander's Palace, and I'd like him to join the group, and it was Emeril. And by the time I had gotten to him, I hadn't seen him in a year. He had opened his own restaurant, Emeril. So he was in that initial group, and he was the one that I knew the best, and had taken the most care of me. And he was the one willing to do the work.
You ate very well during that time, didn't you?
I ate well.
He always does. Yeah. You know, the only thing I remember as a child was the Galloping Gourmet, and like took that concept and just exploded it.
You know? Well, it was so obvious to me that the demand was there.
Yeah.
And it's just that nobody ever took the bull by the horn. You know, you walk into a supermarket, and it was Chef Boyardee and Aunt Jemima, who don't exist. You go into any other store in the mall at that time, and it was real people selling real stuff. You went into JCPenney, it was Cheryl Ladd's clothes.
Yes.
You go into Nike, it was Michael Jordan's sneakers. But there was no Wolfgang. You know, I think the first product we got out was Wolfgang Pizza, frozen pizza. But before that, there was nothing. And in terms of commerce, the supermarket was the only store that bought locally. Everybody else bought nationally. So it was almost a no-brainer. The way it actually ended, it was hard to convince the supermarkets, but the first product I did was Emeril Spices, and we put BAM into the show to sell the spices. And I couldn't get the spices on the shelf. It was really tough. They were owned by a couple of companies.
You're getting muscled out, huh?
Like every other business. But what I did is I went to the rotisserie chicken department. And I said, listen, I'll bulk ship you Emeril Spices. I guarantee you can charge an extra buck for a chicken if it's Emeril Spices on it. And Kroger's went along with me, and it exploded.
Yeah.
And that's what really started it.
Wow. What a visionary.
Always takes a side fill to do stuff.
Well, you picked a good guy here locally for Wolfgang. I mean, he ends up being a Dodger fan, and I remember we had his stuff at the stadium. He did a number of things for us in our charitable work, and went to Spago one night when Henny Youngman was handing out diamond pens. And it was a dime on a pen. And as soon as you walked through the door, every woman got a dime on a pen. And it was really funny. It was, obviously a little spice to the
Take my wife.
Yeah.
Please.
One of my funnest projects was done with the Dodgers the year you guys won. I think it was 81, the World Series.
Correct.
I had a guy in my office, Bob Emmer, who came into me one day and said that Jerry Royce and Steve Yeager had been in, and they wanted to do something to really stick it to the Yankees.
Yeah, and they did,
and they bought. We ended up doing "We Are the Champions," a song at Elektra Records, and I remember taking them up there to sign the record deal, and there was a Xerox machine, the big Xerox machines, you know,
the old school,
the old school, and we get to Joe Smith was the president of Elektra. We get to his office outside. He has one of those machines. And Jerry Royce drops his pants and takes a Xerox of his ass. About 20 of them and signs it for all the secretaries. Yeah. Joe Smith looked at me like, what are you doing?
Rock stars.
Yeah, that's is a typical Jerry Royce. He was the clubhouse clown back then, and he showed himself in many ways.
Yeah, that's
okay. We're winding down here, Shep. I want to thank you so much for joining us. What a tremendous career you've had in so many different ways. Safe travels back to Hawaii, so you can see your 2.5-year-old be welcomed
home.
Hello,
Benjamin. I'll see you tonight.
And yes. All right. Thank you so much again. And we shall be back here in a few seconds with our last closing segment.
Thanks. Aloha, brothers.
Here's a simple solution for you. If you have back pain, knee pain, or any other pain in your body, it's as simple as drinking a glass of water every day. Your body is over 60% water, and drinking the best water you can get is crucial for your health.
Echo Antioxidant Water, developed by Synergy Science, is the best water you can drink, and it's only available through this special radio offer. Over 1,000 research studies have shown that the powerful antioxidant used in Echo Antioxidant Water can reduce inflammation, improve brain function, help you sleep better, and boost gut health. With just 2 glasses a day, you can experience these benefits right from the comfort of your home. Some people have even replaced their morning coffee jolt with Echo Antioxidant Water. Call now and learn which Echo product by Synergy Science is right for you. We offer free shipping and a full 30-day money-back guarantee. Change your health by simply changing your water.
800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. That's 800-944-1789.
If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone, and AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them, and it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Can't be just fine.
Hey, say, how you doing it?
One game at a time.
And welcome back to our final segment. And you were entertained there by the number one hit in Vero Beach every spring since 1976.
Were we?
Game at a time. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that was so amazing that Shep signed the guys. I didn't know that, or that he owned Carlos and Charlie's.
I got to tell you, his resume is amazing. I mean, the people that he's worked with, the we didn't even get into the restaurant partnerships. Tribeca Grill too, and he had an Outback Steakhouse with Ray Yamaguchi.
Yeah, and he's chefs. He's in a partnership with Sammy Hager on the Cabo Wabo Tequila, and with Willie Nelson on the Old Whiskey River Burden.
Yeah, so
bourbon, yeah. Not burden.
And you know,
Willie Nelson's never a burden. Yes.
No, and you know, he wrote a book too. It is the Supermatch. They call me Supermatch, and he had 5 lessons in that: create history instead of waiting for it.
Right.
Stars aren't born; they're made.
Yes.
It's possible to be successful and happy. Never get mad.
Ooh.
Always try to create a win-win situations.
Very cool.
And, you know, I think that all those are pretty good ones to try and fulfill. But
I imagine he's such a fair man because the egos he has to deal with, and for him to walk them down and to be able to collaborate, that has to be an amazing ability.
Well, you know, the fact that he kind of, you know, was, you know, ad-libbing as he was going along. You know, he
making
didn't know
up.
A lot. Well, yeah, he did that pretty well, too.
Delay,
but he passes these names around like I pass baseball names around.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, my God, you worked with this person and you did that with this person. And it's so comfortable to me to be saying these are the people that I dealt with.
And it takes a special breed to be the conduit between art and between commerce.
Absolutely. Ooh, and he was so prolific. Look at that, Mike. Oh, damn, that was profound.
Mike Gary, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Gary, right there. And
yes. Who gets to say, I was introduced to Alice Cooper by Jimi Hendrix by breaking up a fight with Janis Joplin.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. No, it's a very special time. He seems to be pretty good with all of that.
Yeah.
Want to remind you that we have a very special guest coming up next week, and Alan Fox.
I have to work on my tennis.
Played tennis, professional tennis. We will see you all next week with Alan Fox. Thanks for joining
us. Another UCLA guy.